Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
I'm Arielle Lori, and this is the Blonde Files podcast, where I talk to experts, influencers, and inspirational people in the world of wellness and beyond. Whether it's mental health, spirituality, nutrition, gut health, hormones, exercise, meditation, entrepreneurship, beauty hacks, and procedures, I cover it here with real conversations and even realer guests. I know you're as curious as I am, so I'm asking the questions for you, and you get to listen in. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. That was a weird intro. I hope you're all safe and healthy. First of all, I just want to say it's like 7 a.m. here, so I kind of have like morning groggy, raspy voice. I'm not sick. Not that it would matter because we're obviously not in the same room. We're social distancing, but just want to give you fair warning. Anyway, what a time to be alive, right? This is such a difficult, scary thing that the world is dealing with right now. I mean, on the one hand, we know that for most people, the virus itself will not be a big issue. And that's not really my opinion. That's what Dr. Clodi Boldzuk talked about in my episode last week from on the front lines of dealing with coronavirus. For the majority of people, this is not going to be a fatal illness. But there are those people for whom this is really, really devastating. And on top of that, our healthcare system is under the threat of, if not already, collapsing under the pressure of this pandemic, and people are out of jobs, and it's just a shit show. The virus will pass, but I think the effects of it on the entire world are going to be around for a long time. Not that I want to be a pessimist about it, but it's just a really terrible situation made more terrible by, let's say, inept leadership. But anyway, I'm not going to get anxious or political here. So let's switch gears. So I have a lot of great interviews recorded and lined up. I have Dr. Mascaro, I have Nicole Jardim, I have Dr. Talley recording next week, Beauty Broker, who else? I have a couple more people. I have another solo episode with my story. So that's all ready to go. But this week I'm bringing you Quarantine Cast Part 1. Part 2 is going to be out next week with my husband. Yes, it's a freaking miracle. I think, honestly, my husband, who is notoriously private, and he really recoils from like press and podcasts and all of that, unless it's about his work. But anyway, I think he's so bored that he finally agreed to come on. Excuse me. I mean, he has a hard time like just being on vacation because he's so used to a certain pace of life, and it's just hard to stop that momentum. So He agreed to come on. He's really excited about it. It's very cute. This is huge. I'm so excited. And you guys have sent in the best questions for him on Instagram. So we're really looking forward to recording that for you. I think we're going to record it later today and it's going to be out next week. Okay, so for part one, I'm just hoping to get personal and provide respite from the world right now. I will be answering super random questions from you guys, and I'm just going to do my best to be entertaining. I'm covering everything from my current workout routine, what I eat in a day, my skincare must-haves, other beauty stuff, to Hollywood gossip, award show, tea, and the like. So let's get into it. Okay, so I'm going to start with, what am I doing to maximize quarantine? So here's the thing. Quarantine has not really affected anything in my life except for not being able to get out and see friends and be social, but I usually work from home for all things The Blonde Files. I often podcast from home. I do all my Instagram stuff, my ads and my collabs at home. I'm in school online, so I do that from home. And on top of that, we're moving. I mean, not really moving, but our other house is almost ready. So we've been transitioning back there. So in that sense, I've been as busy as ever. I wish I could say that I'm doing hair masks and face masks and coming up with glorious recipes and growing a TikTok empire, but that is not the case. That seems to be what other people on the internet are able to do, which mystifies me, but I'm freaking out over deadlines and how to balance a lot. So that said, I know I am super hashtag blessed, but I just haven't had much free time. I don't know if anyone else feels this way, but it's like even though I'm on calls and meetings and interacting with my husband and talking to other people, my brain is like atrophying. Like I am having a lot of trouble accessing words and formulating thoughts and sentences. So consider yourselves warned. Like I've had some Zoom meetings where I'm doing it now. Like I just cannot think straight and I feel like such an idiot, but I guess that's a side effect of isolation. Okay. I told you guys this would be super random. So the next question is, do I think dogs look like their owners? I think this question is leading. I think this person is saying something here. I think Harvey and Chuck are identical twins, and I think that's what this question is getting at. It's amazing. Like, they are one, they're one breed. Chuck is a total doodle. So yes, that's, the answer is yes. Can I do an updated what I eat in a day? Okay, so this varies a lot, but lately it's been like eggs and avocado in the morning. Well, actually, no. Okay, I start with my matcha with collagen and hemp milk, which has been my thing for years and years. It's got a lot of protein and some fat from the hemp milk, so it keeps me pretty full. And then I work out, and then at like 10 or 11, I'll have breakfast, which will be like eggs and avocado or eggs, avocado, and vegetables. Sometimes eggs irritate me. Lately, I've been fine with it, so make of that what you will. Then I'll have like a bulletproof bar because I just cannot quit those freaking things. Not that they're terrible, but I mean, there is like artificial sweetener in there and I don't know, it's probably not the greatest thing for like gut health. I don't know, but I love it. So isn't that what matters? Okay. Then for lunch, I throw all the vegetables I can find in a siete almond flour or chia wrap. And then for dinner, I love spaghetti squash, roasted vegetables, or like fish and vegetables. So aside from that, I'm a total snacker. So I always have some nuts or fruit in there or fruit and nuts. And at some point during the day, I'll have like crackers with avocado. So I am one of those people where like I like to snack. For the most part in quarantine, like I haven't been eating everything in sight, which I think is a concern for a lot of people. Maybe it's because I'm kind of sticking to a schedule and I'm busy. I am baking a lot, but a lot of my baking is resulting in a complete freaking fail. So I'm not necessarily eating everything that I make. What else? Oh, I went through like a meatball phase recently when I was having a nonstop period. Maybe TMI, but that's over for now. But it was intense, like without getting too graphic. I think my body was just craving meat at a primal level because I was low on iron. Like I had meatballs for breakfast, meatballs for dinner. It was concerning. But when my period stopped, it went away. Okay, what's my guilty pleasure? Meatballs? No. Right now, I don't know if this is a pleasure or a form of torturing myself, but it's Twitter. I know, like, what is this, 2008? I'm a little late to the game, but there are some really funny people on there. And of course, with the funny, you also get the horrifying. So I get up to the second news updates, which is not great for my sanity. But what can I say? It's been highly, highly entertaining. Okay, how do I always have the motivation to work out? You guys, this is a huge misconception about me that I work out all the time. I get it because this account was kind of like founded on exercise, my diet and exercise and like BBG and never miss a Monday and all this, these crazy things. I do not work out all the time. I was dealing with hormone and gut issues for the better part of the year this year, and that rendered me pretty useless in the workout department. Like, I had zero energy for it. Now, I'm back into it, so I'm feeling consistently motivated, but I don't know. Well, I guess I do have a secret, okay? This is probably going to sound really weird, but here I go. So my workout motivation is, wait for it, LeBron James. No, I don't have a Fitspo, and my motivation isn't reaching a certain weight or like body aesthetic or anything like that. It's LeBron James. How fucking weird is that? Okay, hear me out. I'm a huge Lakers fan, and he is just such a beast, and he's like my hype man, and he doesn't even know it. Like, if I'm feeling lazy, I watch a LeBron highlight, and I'm like, okay, he's 35, and he's a beast. I can go work out for 30 minutes. Okay, saying it out loud sounds so bizarre. Am I weird? Like, am I a guy? That said, I do get this question a lot, so I will just say this. Aesthetic goals will not be enough to motivate me or anyone in the long run. So in my experience, focusing on something sustainable, like feeling good, is more effective. So a few things that I'm doing now to stay motivated besides watching LeBron James videos, I schedule my workout into my calendar like anything else, like a meeting or a phone call or whatever. I just put it in my calendar and it becomes part of my day. Or I just do it first thing in the morning because otherwise I get too busy and I make up excuses. So if I like get up in the morning, have my matcha, do my thing, just end up doing it without letting excuses get in the way, if that makes sense. And then it becomes a habit. So that's what I'm doing now. It also always helps to like just get up and put on workout clothes. It makes it a little bit easier. What is my most embarrassing moment in life? Okay. Thankfully, I probably don't remember most of them. This is so hard because I did so much in my 20s to humiliate myself, I'm sure, but I was blacked out for a lot of it. There are a few things that come to mind, but my family does listen to this and I just kind of want to spare them. I don't really have many embarrassing things like in sobriety. I don't know. I mean, I guess like the first time I ever got my period, I'll never forget this. I feel like we all have this story, but I remember I went to the zoo, I think. Yeah, I went to the zoo. Unbeknownst to me, I got my period all over. I was in like khaki shorts and was walking around all day and nobody told me, like the people I was with, friends, nobody told me, which is just baffling to me. But I got home and I was like, oh my God. So that was embarrassing, but that was like 20 years ago, which is very depressing. Have I had experiences when famous people were rude to me until they realized I was married to Chuck? Okay, this is an interesting question. I can't think of famous people. I've never really had a bad experience there. Same thing with like executives, but definitely agents and some lower level people who are like schmoozing at some of these award shows and events that we go to. So I remember at the Golden Globes last year, we were walking in and we had to walk through a group of agent tables, and they were so rude and dismissive to me until he introduced me as his wife. Like, get over yourself. Some agents I love, this isn't all agents, shout out to Jay. You know what though, I will say, people will meet me with Chuck and be sort of dismissive, and then when he says I'm his wife, a light turns on and they suddenly get a little friendlier, a little more interested in me. But it is what it is. It used to really bother me, but now, like, I'm just very confident in who I am. Like, I know who I am. It's not my job to make everybody see me in a certain way. And this can go for anybody, not just me with like Hollywood people. If you're confident in who you are, like, you don't have to prove it to people. Okay. What is the weirdest shit about Hollywood? I would say the insecurity. You guys, it is bananas. And I don't mean people in Chuck's world, but like stories that I've heard about people and like huge stars that I've met. Again, nobody from his shows, but they're like desperate for reassurance. I guess it makes sense, like being in the industry that they're in, and it's so fleeting. But yes, a lot of insecurity. Do I or we name drop for anything, reservations, etc.? Short answer is yes. I personally can't do it because I feel weird. I'll have his assistant do it. But okay, true story. When those Louis Vuitton Archlight sneakers were hot a couple years ago and you couldn't buy them anywhere, I called Louis Vuitton and they said they had none. I was like, yeah, I don't know about that. So then I called back and I think I pretended to be his assistant and I dropped his name. And they were like, oh, what size shoe is she? And I was like, let me go check. I think she's a 36 and a half. And they magically found one pair in the world in my size. Go figure. Okay, while we're on that note, I will address Birkingate. And I hope this doesn't come across as obnoxious. Does my husband hate Hermes after the Birkin drama? I will never live this story down. And I cringe talking about it because it makes us sound so obnoxious and we are just so not those people. And I get this is like a really obnoxious issue. But yeah, so he hates everything that Hermes stands for. Like, they're just, I don't know, they stand for like exclusivity and privilege, and they're aloof and they're snobby. And he had a not great experience with them the first time he got me a Birkin, like maybe a year into our dating. So he just thought the whole thing was so stupid. Like, they made him buy something to even be able to go see the bags, and they make it like such a big thing. I don't know. So that relationship was already shaky. But the next time that we went in was a nail in the coffin. Without telling the whole story, basically they turned us away. Pretty women style, they turned us away when we went cash in hand to buy another bag on my birthday. So they have this whole game that you have to play to even see a bag, and you have to be, according to them, a preferred customer, which I guess we are not. So I put this on my stories, and then I was like, I don't want to be that person, but it already happened. It was out there. And pretty much everybody wrote me in saying like, oh my God, they're the worst. And like, oh, you have to go to the Vegas Hermes because then people don't know who has money and who doesn't. It's just so gross. So what's that line in Pretty Women? Big mistake. Okay. I can't talk about this anymore. Yes, I'm aware there are much more important things going on in the world. Thank you very much. But hey, you guys asked. Okay, what are my pet peeves? Chewing with your mouth open. It makes me want to rip my hair out. It is the worst. It is the worst. I also hate when people ask things that take 1 second to Google. Like, come on, people, let's be resourceful. We have pretty much all the answers to all of life's questions at our fingertips. Okay, last meal I would want to have. Shanae Alexander asked me this on her podcast, Press Send, which was a really fun convo. If you guys want to go listen to it, I think it was released back in the beginning of January. So I stand by my answer. She made fun of me for being like high-low, which you'll understand when I tell you my last meal. But I was like, that's actually very, like, that's just how I live my life. I'm a high-low lady. So I would want lobster ravioli with some kind of buttery, creamy sauce. And then I would want Chili's nachos. So if you never had Chili's growing up, then you missed out. But that's the combo. Chili's nachos, lobster ravioli. Maybe I would have like some kind of, I don't know, some kind of like veggie in there, but maybe like, I was going to say creamed spinach, but I don't even like that. So no, I'm going to leave it at that. Maybe I would add some kind of dessert after, but that's it. That's my meal. Do I ever get the urge to drink? Not once in 6 years, thank God. And I do just want to say that people ask me specifics about my sobriety, how I got sober, how I stay sober, and I'm pretty vague about it, which is kind of an answer in itself. Like, I adhere to traditions and I don't talk about it publicly. So read between the lines. That said, I am happy to share about it like one-on-one. So if anybody is struggling or has any questions, like, you're free to DM me. I try to get back to as many DMs as I can. And I will always, always try to help somebody who's trying to get sober and tell you exactly what I did. How can I defeat awkwardness at social events without alcohol? Okay, so I think sometimes there's just awkwardness and that's just life. Like, I got so many questions about awkwardness, actually, and I definitely used to drink to avoid it, which kind of makes me think, like, whoever said that our social interactions have to be like a movie or a TV show? The fear of not being enough socially fueled a big part of my drinking for a long time. So now I just have to accept it. Usually there isn't any awkwardness anyway. It's just a story that we tell ourselves, and it's just fear and anticipation. But that said, if you're anxious about a social situation, this is the best thing to do. Just ask people about themselves. Everybody just wants to talk about themselves, right? I mean, hello, I made a career out of it. I mean, I'm kind of kidding. This makes me uncomfortable, but really, that's the best tip ever. Like, next time you're going into a social situation where you don't know somebody, or like you're anxious and you're concerned about how people are going to perceive you, just ask people about themselves. Here comes the atrophy. I'm having trouble with my words. But yeah, that's my tip. How did I remove refined sugar from my diet? Two words, natural sugars. Okay, I get it. Sugar is sugar is sugar is sugar at the end of the day. But if you're having trouble going off of refined sugar, I feel like it's, I mean, I guess there are kind of two schools of thoughts. One are like two schools of thought. One is like, just remove it all, get it out of your system, go through a sugar detox, and then add in some natural sugars. But I'm kind of on the other side of it. Like, try making some homemade sweets, like maybe my crowd pleaser cookies, or buy, if it's like chocolate is your thing, buy a couple bars of Who Kitchen or Eating Evolved, or I think they changed their name, Evolved Chocolate. Just find some kind of replacement that uses natural sugar instead of refined. Start using honey or maple syrup, like in your tea, instead of sugar, and just switch it out where you can until you're totally off of refined. And then once you've switched to natural sugar, then you can reevaluate how to eliminate some of it from your diet, because we still don't want to be like spiking our blood sugar and going up and then crashing all day and potentially feeding pathogens and causing inflammation. But I'm a big one step at a time girl, you know, so I kind of think it's more realistic to just start working on replacing it, and then you can look at scaling back. Okay, can you see the scar under my nose from the lip lift? Yes, but it will go away. I'm only 2 months out. Dr. Mascaro came on my show, so his episode will be out in a few weeks, and we talk lip lifts, like really specifically. We talk plastic surgery in the age of social media. We talk celebrity surgery. It's a really, really good one, and it'll be out in a few weeks. What am I the klutziest at? Apparently now speaking, but also just everything. I'm always hurting myself. What is the craziest wellness trend I've seen in LA? I feel like there are so many, but who am I to judge? I mean, people probably think that my lifestyle is extreme. However, no joke, I heard a girl say that she was on the island diet, meaning she was only eating things found on islands. Like, what is that? What islands are we talking? What climate? I don't know. Where does this shit come from? Where's Overheard LA when I need them? That was a little much. LA is so bizarre, but I have to say, you kind of get desensitized to it when you're in it. So if you live here, you really need like a regular get out of LA schedule, even if you're just driving up to like Ojai or something, just to keep a healthy perspective on things. I am always shook when I leave LA because it becomes your norm. Everybody looks the same. Everybody's trying to be 20 years old. Everyone is, you know, eating these crazy diets and like colonics, and nobody works. And it's just so weird. And then you leave and you're like, oh, what the F? Like, where, what is this place? Okay, since we're on this subject of LA, so many of you asked about award season and celebrity interactions. So I could do a whole episode on this. I would need more specific questions. At the same time, I don't really want to like spill on any person in particular. But I will say this. Award shows are much different being there than they are on TV. You realize that these are just other humans. There's nothing like, there's nothing different about them. You're standing in line for the bathroom with Lady Gaga and like, I don't know, Jennifer Aniston. And you just realize like, stars, they're just like us. I've never seen anything really juicy at any of these events. I'm trying to think. Oh, I did see the fiance of like a ginormous mega star hand her a pill under the table that she immediately took. This was at the SAG Awards last year. I mean, it could have been a breath mint, but like, why under the table and why wash it down with water? I mean, I guess that said, it could have also been like an Advil, but it just seemed like so, like they were trying to be so discreet about it. So who knows? Coming from a former addict, though, it looked a little suspect. There are also a few famous women who have given me stare downs like every time I see them at different events. It's the same two women repeatedly all the time whenever I see them, but I'm not going to tell on them. That's just insecurity, right? Oh, okay. Hottest famous person I've seen in person. Well, I don't want to name drop, but Bradley Cooper. There, I said it. Mainly, though, because he is so genuinely nice that it's like just hard not to love the whole package. I've only met him once, but that was enough. And I met him with my husband. Don't get any ideas. What else? Oh, seeing Leo was like very thrilling for me because I saw Titanic in the theater 87 times and I was obsessed with him. Like, thought he was my boyfriend, felt very much in a relationship. Like, oh my God, Romeo and Juliet, forget about it. I was head over heels. Who else? Brad Pitt. He's Brad Pitt, but I think he's too conventionally good looking. Like, I just wouldn't be able to deal with that. And I also heard that he has bad facelift scars, allegedly, but Okay, I'm not going to go off on a tangent. Am I more concerned about Botox or hair color wearing off in quarantine? This is stressful, you guys. I do have to confess that I cheated a little bit, and I had my colorist come over on like day one of quarantine. She was gloved up. We disinfected the F out of everything. We followed the rules except for the 6 feet thing. I know it's bad, but this is before everything shut down anyway. Botox, I'm not too worried about because I got it like a month ago. I'm very concerned about nails. Like at some point I'm going to have to cut these things, and the thought of that terrifies me. But not too concerned about any of that at this point. Best overall skincare line. Okay, this is a tough one for me, but personally, I love all things Hydropeptide. I've been using them for years, and I have nothing but good experiences with every single product. I want to be a cool kid, and I want to use Biologique and be like part of the P50 cult, but it always turns my skin to hell when I use it. So I just can't get on that bandwagon. I've tried. I've bought so much of their stuff, which is ridiculous because I can't even use it. Oh, lately I love Babor. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Babor. Oh my God. Their two-step cleansing oil is life-changing, you guys. The beauty broker, Melinda, turned me onto it, and it is so amazing. My skin loves it. Oh, and she's also coming on the podcast, by the way. So get ready for that. I think she and I are recording next week. But okay, here are the products that I can't live without. This is my breakdown. So in the morning, I do the Babor cleansing oil. The two steps, one and two, you have to get them both. Then I use SkinCeuticals CF during the day, which is amazing for like a glow. And then I use Juice Beauty CC cream, which is SPF and it's tinted and it's just amazing. And I use that during the day. And then at night I do Babor. Hope I'm not butchering that. Or I will alternate with Hydropeptide toning gel, I believe it's called. Nights that I don't use the Hydropeptide, cleanser, I'm losing it. I will use the Hydropeptide toning pads. They're amazing. So good for acne. Then after that, I'll use a Hydropeptide serum. So I alternate between the Redefining and the Power Serums. And then I will use Osmosis Beauty Calm or Clarify, both are vitamin A, a few times a week. And then maybe like once a week, I'll do Envy Medical, ENVY, Glycopeel, which is a 10% glycolic acid. I try not to do it too much because John Tu told me that it can thin your skin, but I do it like once a week and it's really good for, I don't know, keeping me exfoliated. And then I'll do Hydropeptide Power Lift Moisturizer. Oh, and I also love the Definage, DEFANAGE, I believe, three-step system. So it's like an exfoliating mask and then two serums. I can't remember the name, but you could find it on their website. So those are my hero products that I just cannot live without right now. And for the past few years, like my routine really hasn't changed very much. Do I ever feel judged by my husband's colleagues or friends because of age? His friends, never. And most of his colleagues, never. It's kind of funny. Like when I think back on it, I must have seemed so ridiculous at first. I mean, I had like 18-inch extensions and like Kylie Jenner lips and a face full of filler, but I also kind of looked like a baby trying to be hot. Like it was just not a good look. So I'm sure they had some thoughts in the beginning, but they definitely didn't show it. I mean, he just surrounds himself with really good, really down-to-earth, kind people, and that's how he is too. So, yeah, I never felt any judgment from them. If anything, they were super, super welcoming because they just want him to be happy, and they see that he's happy, and that's all that matters at the end of the day, right? How did I repair the skin damage after all the drugs, alcohol, and sun damage? Excuse me. If I was smart, you guys, I would have like arranged these in some kind of cohesive pattern, but I guess I'm keeping you on your toes, hopefully. So Botox ironed things out at first, like quite literally. And then I got just meticulous about my sun protection, my skincare, sleep, hydration, and getting a lot of nutrients through my diet. And then I also did some peels. But I have to say, sobriety, man, I swear it is the fountain of youth. I feel like everyone I know with long-term sobriety is just glowy and youthful. But yeah, the most important things for me now are SPF, sleep, good diet, and water. Without those, it just does not matter what products I use topically. And that's the same for everybody. Ooh, who do I like better, Dr. Talley or Dr. Mascaro? This is not a fair question. That's like choosing a favorite child, except the child is a plastic surgeon. You get what I'm saying. I adore them both. They are both incredibly talented. I consider them both friends. They're both on the podcast in the next like month or 6 weeks. I'm going to space them out a little bit. So make sure you tune into that, but I can't pick. Who made the first move in my relationship? I did. And maybe we will get into this on Quarantine Cast Part 2. But I knew that my husband would never, ever, ever, ever make a move because he's so sensitive to the age difference and he just doesn't want to look like a creep. But ladies or gentlemen, don't be afraid to make a move if you're interested in someone. You have nothing to lose. What is my number one piece of advice for any of you guys? I think the best thing I learned, and I got this from my husband and some other people in recovery, is that what other people think of me is none of my business. Kind of ironic because it actually is my business, like what people think of me, how many people like me, etc. But at the end of the day, I'm not living my life to change anyone's opinion of me, and people's opinions of me don't dictate how I live, if that makes sense. I'm just me and you can take it or leave it. I think this is something that comes with age too, but I guess I would say try to really internalize this. Like what other people think of you is none of your business and you only have one life, so live it for you and not for other people. Favorite book, show, or movie? I guess this is pretty relevant for quarantine. One of my favorite books to this day is Purity by Jonathan Franzen. I also love, I think it's The Marriage Plot, Jeffrey Eugenides. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. I have lists on my website, but I need to update because I've read quite a few books in the last few months. My favorite show is Killing Eve, followed by Succession, but right now we're just happy that Homeland is back on. And we have a game where we count how many times Carrie does the crying face in each episode. So if you're a drinker and you need something to do during quarantine, watch Homeland and take a drink every time Carrie starts to cry. How are my teeth so white? Veneers. That's a whole other episode because it has been a journey, but that's the short answer. Relationship advice in these times. I think this means like four people in relationships. So you guys, this is tough. If you're quarantined with your significant other, no matter how much you love each other, you're going to get on each other's nerves. Chuck and I have days where we drive each other crazy. And then we have days where we feel like we're playing hooky and it's fun and loving and all the good things. But I had to lay down some rules. So my husband took it upon himself to just like let his self-care go. Like I was suddenly married to a mountain man and it was not working for me at all. I was like, oh, we need to tighten this up here, okay? Now is not the time to let yourself go, right? It's already enough that we're together nonstop. Like I think Heather McMahon says, like, get it right, get it tight. I know love and acceptance and all of that. I love and accept my husband just without the mountain man beard. I don't know if that was really advice. Okay, let me try to come up with some kind of advice. I guess just try to like meet each other where you are and support as needed and keep doing your own thing and get it right, get it tight. Okay, so I think on that note, that's enough for today. I hope this was somewhat entertaining. As always, if you like this episode or you like the show in general, please take a second to rate, review, and subscribe. You guys, I have 900 reviews after a year of podcasting and so many thousands of people listening every week. Come on, let's set a goal, okay? 1,000 reviews. We can do that. Just 100 of you. Take a second, leave a review. It's the only way that you can really directly support the show. At the end of the day, these things matter. And yeah, it's crazy out there. There's a shitload of podcasts now. So it's really helpful to rate, review, and subscribe. Totally going off on a tangent. Make sure you tune in next week for part two with Mr. Chuck Lorre himself. And in the meantime, stay safe, stay sane. I hope you all are getting through this and you're not affected directly by the virus. And I appreciate you. Bye.